Oh, wow. Hell of a Wednesday to you. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is going to be a big, big day, a wild day. It's going to get crazy. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know Rocket can. All right, so where do I start? How do I lay this out? You know, Wednesday is always a really busy day here on the program. We have a lot to get done, a ton to get done between now and the end of the show. So let me go brick by brick and set this entire thing up for you. Number one, 16 days, 12 shows until Smack-Off 27. I knew that Smack-Off season would be short. Man, this thing is spinning out of control. It is spinning so fast. You are literally running out of time. I mean, this thing may as well be tomorrow. 16 days. This thing may as well be next segment.
The Smack-Off.
The Smack-Off! This thing may as well be right now. Oh, Alvy. Well done.
The Smack-Off.
First up, he's trying to wire the field. The BIC! Now, you are running out of time, though. 16 days, 12 shows until Smack-Off 27. So that's point number one. Point number two, we are loading up the interviews today, and Wednesday is a What's Your Beef day. So I know that a lot of you roll out on Wednesday wondering, when are you doing that? Is it in the second hour or is it in the third hour? Today, it's in the third hour. So let me lay down the interviews for you really quickly. Coming up at 9:40 Pacific time, that's 12:40 Eastern time, I've got Oakland A's first baseman Matt Olson at 10:20 Pacific time. NHL Network analyst Kevin Weeks. Also on hour number two, Tim Connolly, Denver Nuggets, president of basketball ops. You know how strongly I feel about that front office. Then the beef segment is coming up at 11:20. Convenient that on a day when we have everybody double dipping, Alvy's going to bounce in that hour. This is why you might be wondering why Ritt is rocking a tie in the back row. Back in the day, when Alvin would take one day off every single week and Ritt would sit up front and run the board, Ritt would wear a tie.
Freaking ridiculous, right?
Right. Yet there's Ritt with his back to the wall, drinking his hot chocolate and rocking a tie. What is that? What's going on here? Ritt is jumping to the front row, but only for hour number three. And that old moron was not going to sit in the front row without wearing a tie, even for an hour. That guy could be up there for like a Rome minute. If he had to engineer that, he'd put a tie on. Game on, Ritt. What a pro. So that's why the other side of the glass looks the way the other side of the glass looks. And there you have it. There is your setup for the show. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. And you know to follow me on social media. Also, go to my Instagram feed if you don't mind. Do them both at Jim Rome. We will have an ATP also in that busy third hour. All right, let's get it. So you remember a while back when baseball players suddenly started to show up and they looked like linebackers. They had absurd muscles. They had comically oversized helmets. Because their heads were growing. They were murdering baseballs like 500 feet. And remember how people tried to act like that was so natural. You know, guys just spending a little more time in the weight room. And even if there was something going on that wasn't natural, it certainly wouldn't help, right? Remember all that bull crap about how that's not going to make you hit a baseball? You can't pull a guy out of Gold's Gym and put him in a major league uniform. Remember all that bull crap? Yeah, the good old days. Yeah, well, we're back to those good old days. Except now, instead of hitters juicing up, we're talking about pitchers rubbing down. Allegedly. So quietly over the past few weeks, MLB has started making more and more noise about pitchers using foreign substances on the baseball. They're trying to get a better grip because a better grip increases spin rate. So guys are absolutely on the grip. They're doing everything they can to get a grip. Like, it doesn't help them throw harder, but it does help them get better control of the ball and a higher spin rate.
Get a grip.
And a higher spin rate obviously makes it tougher to hit the ball. Y'all remember, when spin rate became a thing and suddenly pitchers had crazy spin rate on their pitches and everybody was told it was because they had mastered their technique and their mechanics and they were just getting better at it. Yeah, well, about that. Come to find out. Turns out, yeah, maybe not everybody perfected their technique. Maybe it's got nothing to do with technique. Maybe the only technique these guys have mastered is doctoring the baseball. And by some guys, I mean a lot of guys. And by a lot of guys, I mean almost everybody, apparently. According to Buster Olney, quote, teams say pitchers are using various types of homemade glue, pelican grip, spider tack adhesive, or high volumes of pine tar, end quote. So pelican grip is a pine tar and rosin blend for bat handles. Spider tack is a mix for power lifters to help them maintain their grip on a bar in competition. Pine tar is pine tar, right? And homemade glue is, who the hell knows what that is? But apparently dudes are mixing it up in the garage. So think of it as some sort of, I don't know, baseball meth, I guess. Except to grip with instead of ingesting. And they're dragging it out to the bump with them in volume. According to Olney, they're not using only a little bit either. Quote, the substances being used, said one team staffer, have some players concerned about applying too much to their skin lest they do damage. End quote. Yeah, I'd be pretty worried too if I was slathering myself in homemade glue before every single start. Yeah, I might have concerns about what my skin might look like too. I might have concerns about skin damage. Like, I understand hitting yourself with some sunblock before a day game, but homemade glue? Like, not even glue, but home glue. Like, home brew. Home glue. Yeah, I'm sure that is pretty bad for you. I bet that's bad for you, but great for your spin rate. You know, like, draft glue guy. Like, do these pitchers, like, invite each other over? Hey, yo, come check out what I got brewing in my garage. A bunch of bottles of glue lined up. Yeah, you know what you losers do? You go to CVS and you buy Elmer's, man. I've got my own. I make my own. It's like the most baseball thing ever, isn't it? It's the most baseball thing ever. These guys will do anything, no matter how ridiculous, including brewing their own glue.
Kind of ridiculous.
They'll do anything, no matter how ridiculous, to cheat and to get an edge. And always remember, the very first two things I ever said on the radio as it relates to sports when I first broke in and I got my opportunity. Two things. I said, scoreboard, look up at it. And I also said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, and it's only cheating if you get caught. Now, where do you think I got that second phrase from? I didn't make that up. I got it from baseball. It's a famous baseball saying. Baseball, of course. Of course, guys will always cheat. Always. Always cheat. And will always be one step ahead of those that are trying to catch them cheating. And then when they do get caught, they will find another way to cheat. There will never, ever be a level playing field because somebody will always be cheating. ABC, always be cheating. Always be cheating.
Closing. Always be closing.
Anyway, anyhow, anything to get an edge. I mean, bring a nail file and sandpaper to the mound, of course. Inject yourself with boroids. Cool. Bang on a trash can. Great. Cover your body in homemade glue and powerlifting adhesive. I'm on it. And not only that, it's like they're not even trying to hide it. Again, according to Buster Olney, they're being blatant about it. Baseball officials have been studying video, and they know where pitchers are trying to hide it. Quote, such as on his belt, on his left side, or between the third and fourth fingers of the glove, or underneath the hat, said one source. They know all the spots. The pitchers who are pulling on the strings on their glove or going to a spot on their belt. End of quote. Here's another beauty. Quote, in a game in recent weeks, the sources say one team say, it was so obvious that a pitcher on the opposing team was cheating that players began screaming at him to stop cheating, and the feeling on the enraged team was they intimidated the pitcher into stopping. End quote. Hey, I mean, why not just go out to the bump with a backpack, a giant backpack, and replace the rosin bag with the backpack? Just leave the backpack on the bump, back of the bump, and put all your cheating utensils in that backpack. And then just between batters, just go to the backpack and load up. Glue up, load up, pine tar up, do whatever. You know, better yet, don't even take the backpack off. Just pitch with it on your back. So not only are guys cheating, man, they're so bad at it that everybody knows. So who's doing it? How many guys are doing this? Apparently everybody, or near everybody. Like, take the case of Gerrit Cole. Cole gets roughed up in his last start against Minnesota. Twins third baseman Josh Donaldson recently wondered if that was because Cole was not using his typical grip concoction. That led to Cole being asked about using the sticky stuff, and that led to one of the all-time great answers in the history of answers. Check this.
And have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't know how to answer that, to be honest.
Global warming.
There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. Like I mentioned earlier, there's
Val Kilmer.
You know, this is important to a lot of people that love the game, including the players in this room, including fans, including, you know, teams. And so if MLB wants to, you know, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
Wow. How painful was that? Struggling. Val Kilmer. That was some straight Jim Tom Sula, Tom Jim Sula stuff right there.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it either.
I was waiting for him to point off to the side and shout, "Hey, yo, look over there," and then try and sprint away from the podium. Let me tell you something. It's pretty basic. A general rule of life, a basic rule of life. If you are asked a yes or no question, these are the possible answers. Yes or no. And anything else is yes. And this guy jumped right into that off the bat. Listen to how he answered a yes-no question.
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
Okay, remember, if somebody asks you a yes or no question, either you say yes or you say no, and anything else is yes. Like, you could cut the first 13 seconds off that answer, and you've got yourself one of those Southwest Airlines commercials. Hey, you want to get away? You want to get away? Yeah, because Gerrit Cole wanted to get away in the worst way in that moment. I'm guessing he'd have been willing to chip you off a giant chunk of that $324 million. That contract, in order to not answer that question. If you're asked a yes or no question and your answer isn't no, then it's yes. And if it involves a phrase like customs and practices that have been passed down, then it's not only yes, it's hell yes. And that's exactly where my man went. Quote, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players, and I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. Customs and practices? Handed down? Dude, we're talking about spider tack on a baseball. Not like stories from our ancestors or the family's secret lasagna recipe that nobody outside the family has ever been allowed to see. If you're asked a yes or no question and you start by talking about customs and practices that have been passed down, you better go Tony Plush and shout, Oh, I gotta go. That's what he should have done. That's how he should have answered that. If the answer isn't no, I've never done that. You know, if you want to say, hey, come on, Rome, at least he was honest. Yeah, all right. What he should have done is say, Oh, I gotta go. And let's not make the mistake of saying that he had a hard time answering that question and he gave you an answer. The guy could not have been any more clear about what the answer was. Listen, it's a bad look when you're among the league leaders in multiple categories and then you have a bad outing. And then an opposing player wonders if you aren't on the grip. And then when you're asked about it, you come up with that answer. All right, now, the reason I'm singling this guy out was, well, the answer, obviously, one of the greatest answers in the history of answers. But I want to be very clear about this. It's not just about Cole. It's about, apparently, nearly everybody who takes the bump in the majors. Because this is kind of like that Lance Armstrong thing, right? If the guy who's got one of the fattest contracts in MLB history is doing it, how am I to assume that pretty much everybody else isn't as well? If one of the best is doing it, why would I assume that everybody else isn't as well? Like that Lance Armstrong thing. If the guy who's winning it every single year, how would he not be, or how would he be the only one who's not doing it if he's winning it every single year? Anyway, there is a degree to which hitters will allow this, right? In fact, I would even argue there is a degree to which hitters want them to be on the grip. You don't want guys up there chucking a rock at triple digits with no control over where the ball is going, right? But there are lines. And at a certain point, it crosses the line. And apparently, it's crossed that line right now. Guys apparently are going to the mound with the sticky stuff and the pelican grip and the spider tack and the homemade glue. Like, dudes are out there practically with bleeping chemistry sets in order to get that spin rate. And you know what? I got to be honest. Not only am I not indignant, not only am I not enraged, I think it's hilarious. I really do. I don't even blame these guys. If the league's not doing anything, at least not until now, to stop it, why the hell wouldn't you smear yourself with wood glue or homemade glue or Flex Seal or whatever else you can use to get you a better grip? Because if you've got the grip and you can get guys out, then you can get paid. And isn't that the whole point? I mean, sure, it's embarrassing when you get caught, just like it's embarrassing when you're injecting yourself with Bolroids or banging on a trash can. But that's baseball. That's baseball. Here's your American pastime, baseball and cheating. And sure, it might get a little bit awkward if you're Gerrit Cole and you have a moment like this.
And have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't know how to answer this, to be honest. Global warming.
There are customs and practices that have been passed down from
Listen,
older
as my guy Tim Grover
players.
Likes to say, your mind has to be stronger than your feelings. And if not your mind, then your bank account. I'm sure Cole didn't mind that question that much. I'm sure he wishes he had the answer back, but and I'm sure he wishes that Donaldson didn't point out what he pointed out and took that run at him. But I'm sure that he went home and he logged on to his bank's website and he felt better about himself when he saw that that automatic deposit of a few mil kicks in every time he throws a few pitches. I just know this. I'm not sure how the Yankees are going to feel about this, considering they're on the hook for 9 years in over 300 mil, and this dude, who no longer has the use of his super goop and the spin rate that he had only a few days back. Yeah, have fun with that. Have fun with that. I know I will. I know the hitters will. Man, that scandal is literally the best thing in sport right now. Cheating is awesome. I only wish I had it in me to do that. I just know this. I will never get tired of the stories of how these guys are doing it and how bad they are at doing it. And that's why that open was so long. Cheating rules. Especially when you're not good at it.
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
You don't? It was a really easy question. Have you ever used it? Yes or no? Yeah, I don't really know how to answer that. Okay, that's a yes. That's a hell yes. 1-800-63- global warming. In addition to that, it meant nothing. I'm going to shelve the whole show. I could do 3 hours on that. In addition to that, Clippers gonna clip. And they did. Utah gets game one. Never forget how fierce that barn can get or how good Donovan Mitchell is. I've got a player profile because the Smack Off is coming up. 16 days, 12 shows until Smack Off 27. Today's player profile, Shawnee. The best of an era. Is the best of that era good enough to make him the best ever? We'll get into it. My man, Joel Embiid, stepping up big last night. And he's doing it on a jacked knee. I have that for you as well. And more. Matt Olson coming up later on this hour. Kevin Weeks next hour. Tim Connolly next hour. What's Your Beef? Coming up in hour number three. 1-800-636-8686.
I gotta go.
I got a question for you. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? Well, there's something to be said for a family business, which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and Old Trapper jerky comes in four mouth-watering flavors. You have old-fashioned, classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender, smoky and delicious. You've got teriyaki with the yellow label, where Old Trapper turned the flavor dial to 11. Hot and spicy, with a spice so nice, you'll want to snack twice. And peppered. Tender, seasoned beef covered in cracked pepper. It's a cold beer's best friend, so go and grab a 4-ounce bag or load it up with an 18-ouncer where there's enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky can compare. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I've got six golden tickets that I've already moved. A third of the recipients are on hold right now. That's smart. You know this. Murray AC Month is going on right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If your AC is blowing hot air, you need immediate relief, right? So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts, get up to a $100 gift card. After mail-in rebate, when you purchase a Murray AC compressor, accumulator, or dryer expansion device and condenser, there is no need to sweat it when the parts you need are just a few clicks away at O'ReillyAuto.com. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online, pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts, advice from their professional parts people, and their free loaner tool program. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. There is a refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, ask about their free loaner tool program, or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. I don't want to reset the entire thing every single time, but the Smack Off is coming up. It's invite only. If you've won the event, you have a lifetime exemption. There are others that are already in the field that have not won the event, but they're good enough to be there. And then the other way in is with a golden ticket. If you win or earn a golden ticket, you can get in. It does not guarantee that you get on the air. It just guarantees that you are in the field. If you want to guarantee that you get on the air, you should call the show. Keep getting racked. Pile up points. These guys understand this. This guy's already got a golden ticket. Now remember, if you have one and you make a bad call, you run the risk of losing it. Everybody knows this. Let's get at it. We go to the Bay. CJ in the Bay. CJ, what's up?
That Gavin is such a cute little squirt. When I was 14, I called him to talk to on the deuce. I asked Harris Barton about Neon Deion on the Niners returning kicks. But back to Gavs, keep working your craft, and one day you can grow up to be a legendary clone. You can run around in a Speedo. You can kiss yourself in a mirror and generally just go full Kevin Spacey. Just don't buy your own hype. Creepy Brad cannot be within 100 yards of a school, so he will RSVP no to your graduation ceremony, but he'll be happy to attend your graduation party if you got a keg of Natty Light and some quasi-legal co-eds. Just keep it fresh. Don't be a boring stiff like that corpse from Southeast Wisco. Chris has a shot at smack off airtime so we can have an intermission. Does anyone anywhere stop what they're doing? When you hear Rome say, Southeast Wisco, let's go to Chris, we all hear, Southeast Wisco, time to take a piss. Alvin gets time to hit the private bathroom to impregnate the Charmin. Hawk will go sneak in a quick vape hit pretending he forgot something in his rig. And Rit will go grab a hot chocolate like a 9-year-old. Not sure what Rit contributes, but maybe we should kick him out of the XR4 Ti and rename him something appropriately emasculating, like, say, a Jimette. But I have a promise to make to the jungle. If Silk Bro hits his 18-1 odds for the win, I will go away forever. No calls, no emails, nothing. Silence. If Manzier wins it all, I will call in and call him my daddy, just like he's Tito's bitch, and then I'll vanish. But I do want to dance on some graves right quick. The 2020 AAU tournament champ, half champ Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, and by the way, SoCal, the Giants still have the best record in the show. Jake in the city of Buffalo. Three clones got run trying to take up for their city, and Rick ditched the city to spend the summer in Manzier's meth trailer in Huntington Riot. Kevin Durant's balls, all-time great player, all-time Ken doll below the waist. In fact, I want to defer this grave dance to the jungle's resident nerd. I want you to execute the Carlton from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. We have our own Alfonso Ribeiro. Mark in Hollywood. Take some time off from your gig on America's Funniest Home Videos and come dance on these headstones, please. Go crazy, dork. War. Vic getting his ass run again, but taking the award for the clone most likely to be under FBI investigation. Get help, bitch.
Wow, CJ. Like, that's almost, I'm not going to say that's smack-off material, but there's smack-off energy and preparation in something like that. Like, that's a call during smack-off season. That's the type of call somebody might make during the smack-off itself. And this guy's bringing that kind of heat. He's laying that kind of wood, and it's not for the event itself. And you know why? He wants to ensure that he's on that day. That's smart. That's very smart. That's a, go ahead and rack that. That's a strong golden ticket call right there. Here's one guy that's getting the message. I keep hammering it every single day. If you want to ensure that you get on the air that day, you best be piling up points, building goodwill, putting money in the bank, doing it in the lead up. If you lay out, you're not going to give me any reason to believe. Like, I don't want to waste valuable real estate on that day. I want to know that every single phone call that I take that day kicks ass. And I want to leave nothing to chance. So what I don't want to do is bank on the fact that one of you golden ticket recipients is going to just mess the bed on the big stage. So in other words, flex, keep coming, put in the work, get your reps. That's CJ. He's making a very strong case to be heard on that day as a golden ticket recipient. All right, let me take a timeout. The reason I want to do that is I've got Matt Olson coming up next. If you're on hold, stay there. Trust me, I will get to your phone calls. We've got a lot to get done on this Wednesday, but I will get to your phone calls. Matt Olson of the A's joins me when we come back. Probably even on the other side of that interview, I'll have time for a phone call or two. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. Time now for a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So far, so good. Real quickly, I'm Jim Rome. Welcome back. So, just had a rack telephone call, which is always good on this program. Coming up next hour, Kevin Weeks, an NHL Network analyst. And then also next hour, the president of basketball operations for the Denver Nuggets, Tim Connolly. Right now, we're talking baseball. We are joined by a two-time Gold Glove winner, first baseman for the Oakland A's, three-time fielding Bible Award winner. A walk and run scored in last night's win over Arizona, hitting .275 on the year, 15 home runs, 40 runs batted in. He was the 47th pick overall back in 2012 out of Parkview High School in Georgia. The A's are in first place in the AL West, and they are hosting Arizona today. Matt Olson is my guest. Matt, good to have you on. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you doing?
Good. Good, Matt. Great to talk to you. I want to ask you really quickly, Matt, about the win over Arizona where you scored 5 runs in the fourth. I bring that up because you scored those runs by having a couple of walks, a couple of singles, a fielder's choice. I mean, always good to get that big bomb, right? But what's it say about an offense that you can score 5 runs in an inning without a single extra base hit?
Yeah, you got to be able to do both. You know, the homer's not always going to be there, especially when it's a cold, windy night in Oakland sometimes, so you got to find a way to produce other ways.
I thought you were going to say the home run's not always going to be there when guys are loading up the baseball with all sorts of homemade glue and goop.
Yeah, obviously that's a hot topic in baseball right now. But, hey, no matter what happens, we got to stand at the dish and try to hit it.
I'm going to be more artful than that. I didn't want to rush right into that like I did, but maybe I'll come back to that. Let me ask you this. There's something... And by maybe coming back to that, Matt, I think definitely I'll come back to that. But I want to ask you about this great new tradition the team has. I think it's awesome where a player gets awarded, the player of the game, a 40-pound golden trident as the rider of the wave. How did that start, and what do you think of that trident?
Well, that thing is heavy to start. It's a legit trident. I think it started the starting pitchers were – came out struggling a little bit to start the year, and they were in a little group chat, and they said, "Don't worry about it, boys. It's just, you know, a little down part in the wave, and we'll get back going." And they turned it into Ride the Wave, and everybody kind of ran with it. And you know, we hit a double or a homer, we give the Ride the Wave into the dugout, and you know, it's good because baseball really is full of those ups and downs along the whole course of a year. But Sean Manaea, being the wild card that he is, one day, I guess, just went online and bought a legit trident to have in the clubhouse. So you're going to have to ask him about that one.
I think it's brilliant, dude. I think it's so cool. I love it. And, it reminds me, and I'm on the outside looking in, but it reminds me of the thing that I always hear about the team. When I talk to Bob Melvin, when I talk to David Forrest, we talk about the chemistry of the team. And these guys always talk about you and Matt Chapman being at the center of all of this since you arrived. You know, and from talking to both of you, I get that sense, and I'm getting it again right now when we talk about things like the trident. Like, how would you describe the chemistry in that clubhouse? What's it look like and feel like to you?
It's awesome. I mean, it's always been good since I've been up here and seen the dynamic in the clubhouse. You don't typically think about chemistry in pro sports necessarily being a huge factor. I feel like people look at it as more of a guys making millions of bucks and just kind of doing their own thing. But, you know, I do think it really matters. We've had one of the lower payrolls the last 3 years and found ourselves in the playoffs and, competing with some of the bigger teams with the bigger payrolls. And, I think that the chemistry is part of it. Everybody's in here and we all get along and we mess around and have fun with it. But, when we're out there, we're grinding too.
Talking to Matt Olson, Matt, it always seems to me like the guys who say that it really doesn't matter are usually the guys who don't have it on teams that don't have it, but the guys who think that it does matter and believe in it obviously are benefiting from it, and they do have it. And then you've got a manager who leads from the front in Bob Melvin. He was honored with his 800th career win as a manager of the A's. This has always been a really big Bob Melvin house. I always enjoy my conversations with him. There's this story that years back when you were in AAA, you hit kind of a rough patch, and he texted you. Like, what do you remember about that message, and what's it say about the big league manager doing that with somebody in the minors?
Yeah, I mean, I could almost guarantee you that not every big league manager is doing that. Bo Mills been up here since I got up here, and he's like the perfect manager. He's a creative manager. He does his work, and he's a big strong force for us at the top, but also he knows everybody on a personal level. likes to joke around with us as much as we do with each other. And, you know, he's just the perfect guy to kind of be leading us. And it was a cool moment to be there for the 800th win. And, you know, we celebrated with him a little bit and, you know, got him a nice bottle of wine. Everybody signed it. So just a special moment.
So who picked out the wine?
I think that was Jed Lowry. He's the wine guy on the team.
Are you a wine guy?
Yeah, but you know, when it gets down into what region it's from and what year and vintage, I panic and pass the list to Jed.
I panic. That's strong. Like I ask because I really don't know that much about it. I want to know more about it, but I just haven't gotten there yet, so I don't really know. Matt Olson's joining us. I would ask you a question about that, a smart question, but I don't have any. Listen, you are really seeing the ball pretty well. You're hitting nearly 400 for the month of June. I mean, is that what that is? Is that a function of seeing the ball well and executing, or have you made some adjustments?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's kind of a combo. I made some adjustments in the off season, just looking at my swing from last year and you know, addressing things that I didn't like. But you know, for the most part, I said coming into spring that I wanted to kind of get back to, you know, the feel and rhythm at the plate, and felt like I got caught up in mechanics and video and stuff last year, so I really just wanted to kind of get back and, you know, play the game of baseball. And, you know, was doing that in spring and had some good results, and I've just kind of been riding that since.
Hey, Matt, the swing, like, not to be weird about this, but, like, it's so mental, right? It's mechanical, of course, but what do you do with the swing? Like, do you bring the swing home with you? Is it, like, work that you bring home? Do you leave it at the office? Is the swing always with you? Like, what's the relationship between the player and the swing?
Well, I think that that goes along with the relationship with you and hits. when you're not getting a lot, that thing will the swing will be on your mind a lot. But you know, that kind of goes along with what I was saying right there of trying to, you know, just get back to playing the game. I think sometimes, especially last year for me, you can carry stuff with you that, you know, really just isn't helping at all. You go home and worry about your swing after a bad game and talk yourself into doing something crazy the next day and, you know, set yourself back even more. So, you know, this year, good or bad, I kind of wanted to back off it a little bit and, you know, go out there, watch the pitcher warm up, watch him throw in the game and you know, just like we're out there, you know, playing a high school game or, you know, sometime when you didn't have all the info and analytics that you have now kind of get back to just playing the game.
Boy, isn't that interesting. With all that information, you get that information overload, like try easier is sometimes the hardest thing. You know, Matt, just to double back to what we started off with, like if you're in the batter's box and a pitcher is using something to get an edge and it can dramatically increase spin rate, can you explain, like, how much more movement can a pitcher get with the ball, and how much tougher is it for the hitter to hit the ball when you have that increased spin rate, especially if you're doing it kind of illegitimately?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I don't want to be throwing any shade out here. Obviously, these guys are incredibly talented, and spin rate has been a huge focus for guys in the off season. You know, they got Rap Soto and, you know, things that monitor their spin, so they're working with it all off season. It's obviously a direction that the game has gone where, you know, maybe a little less from guys pitching, painting corners, and more to throw it harder, spin it faster, and your stuff's going to be better. So, you know, obviously a guy who is spinning it fast, throwing it hard is a tougher AB than the opposite. But, you know, like I said, it's nothing we can do about it. Obviously, it's a hot topic, but I got to put the bat on the ball no matter what.
Listen, I respect the response, Matt. Baseball's funny like that, right? Like, where do you draw the line? Like, there's certain things that certain players or all players will allow for in terms of trying to get an edge, and then there are certain things that are over the line or over the edge. So where do you draw the line? Is it just a function of it's in the rule book or not? Like, the code is changing, the line is moving. How do you know what's cool and what's not at this point?
Yeah, and I think that's where everybody's at. you know, I think everybody's just kind of sitting around and looking for, you know, that kind of answer. I don't know if the MLB is going to get involved or, you know, set a specific, you know, tack or rub the balls up differently or whatever it may be. But, yeah, I do think that's where it'll probably end up going is some sort of universal rub or something like that.
I got you. Hey, really quickly, guys around the team are talking about the Little Red Machine, which is a pitching machine. Guys love it. What is it about the Little Red Machine that makes it such a good tool to work with? What is it?
So, yeah, that Little Red Machine was, we had Tommy LaStella halfway through the year last year, and that was his little toy that he brought over. And, you know, I think he might have struck out, you know, 3 or 4 times in like 2 months with us, so. I was kind of watching what that guy was doing, and basically what it is, it simulates like a good spin rate four-seam fastball. So, you know, sometimes your eyes plays tricks on you with those pitches. You feel like you're on it, and you're way under it, pop it up or whatever. So me being a guy who has some long arms and length in my swing where popping stuff up is a little bit of a tendency for me. I get in there on that machine, and it helps me get back on top of pitches, and you know, it's been working so far.
My man, this is why I love this conversation. Every time you come on, he is a first baseman with the A's. He is a 2-time Gold Glove winner. Oakland is in first in the AL West, and today's actually a game day, and Matt Olson still made it in. Matt, really appreciate you. Great to have you back, man. Thank you so much for that.
No problem. Appreciate it, Jim.
Talk to you soon. Matt, well done. So he's not going to get caught up in that. He's like, look, it's my job to put the bat on the ball, and I can't worry about anything else, and I'm just going to do that. And he is. Well played. Good job. Love talking to him. The A's are a tremendous jungle team. Always have been, always will be. All right, so we go to and they're in first. We go to hour number 2. I've got Kevin Weeks coming up at 10:20. So at the top of the hour, phone lines are open. Maybe a player profile. Let's see how it spins out. That's next. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Hour 2 straight ahead.